Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It happened, as they travelled east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they lived there. A man said to his neighbour, "Come, let's make bricks and burn them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. They said, "Come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches to the sky, to heaven. And let's make ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the surface of the whole earth." So they thought that they could build a tower that could actually reach to heaven. So this is the trouble when men try to be greater than God. And this was really a kind of a temple that they built. It wasn't a temple to God. So Yahweh came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. Yahweh said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing will be withheld from them what they intend to do." So God sees what we think about doing. He reads our motives, and he knows that if we do this, then we're going to want to do that. And once we've done that, then we're going to want to do that. And so he sees the heart. And this is the great thing about the one true God, that the one true God, the God of Israel, Yahweh, sees our hearts and our minds, what we hope for, what we intend to do, what we would really like to do, etc. He sees that. He's not some dumb idol of stone or whatever that you've just got to give things to. God actually sees our hearts. So God says, "Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So, come, let us. It's a bit like when in Genesis chapter 1, God says, "Let us make man in our image." And I suggest that this is God with the angels. Because when it says, "Let's go down and have a look at what they're doing," well, of course, God himself knows all things. But the angels are a bit more limited. Like Jesus said, nobody knows the day nor the hour when Jesus is going to come back. Not Jesus, not the angels, but only God knows. So, "Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So Yahweh scattered them abroad from there on the surface of all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there Yahweh confused the language of all the earth. From there, Yahweh scattered them abroad on the surface of all the earth. So Babel, or Babel, means confusion. So that's where we got all these different languages, Latvian and Russian and English, and different accents, and French and German.
What was the language before that?
Well, we don't know what the language exactly was, but there was only one language, that's what it says. And so this is what caused people to divide. You can see that today. Here in Europe, you might be in Latvia, for example, and you drive from one end of the country to the other, and they're all speaking Latvian, and you cross the border, and suddenly they're speaking Estonian. Or you cross the border, and suddenly they're speaking Russian. Or you cross the border, and suddenly they're speaking Lithuanian, and you drive another 100 kilometres, and then suddenly they're speaking Polish. So, what that shows, then, is that it's true that the language you speak means that you're just going to stick around with people of that language group. That's what happened back in those days, very clearly. So when it says that Yahweh scattered them abroad on the surface of all the earth, well, that is true, but they probably did it themselves. They wanted themselves to divide. And Babel is from where Babylon came. So Babylon, this great city that grew up later on, was based upon this Tower of Babel. It didn't have very good connections. This is the history of the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and became the father of Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. Shem lived 500 years after he became the father of Arphaxad and became the father of sons and daughters. And so it goes on in the story. Serug lived 30 years and became the father of Nahor. Nahor lived 29 years and became the father of Terah. Nahor lived 119 years after he became the father of Terah and became the father of sons and daughters. Terah lived 70 years and became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now, it could be that if he became the father of three children when he was 70 years old, that maybe they were triplets, that Abram actually had two sort of twin brothers, or they were triplets. Like sometimes a woman gives birth not to one baby, but to two babies or three babies or even four babies or even five babies at the same time. And so it's possible that that's what happened here. So now we're coming to Abram, who later became Abraham. This is the history of the generations of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran became the father of Lot. So then Lot was Abram's nephew. Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his birth in Ur of the Chaldees. Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, who was also the father of Iscah. Sarai was barren. She had no child. Now, so often in the Bible stories, we find women who couldn't have children. We think of Hannah, we think of Sarah, and then of Rebecca, and then of Rachel. And so it goes on. And God's great theme is that he uses the weak in order to take forward his purpose. So Terah took Abram his son, Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife. They went from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They came to Haran and lived there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And we're going to read in the next chapter how Yahweh had said to Abram, "Get out of your country and from your relatives and from your father's family." And he said that to him when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. And so God worked through the situation with Abram's family so that actually they themselves wanted to leave Ur of the Chaldees. So if we want to be obedient to God, he will help us to be obedient. And I think that's the lesson, really, from the story of Abraham at the beginning.